ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ गीता एज इट इज चैप्टर 5 टेक्स्ट नंबर 25 एंड 26. दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज एक्शन इन कृष्ण कॉन्शियसनेस कर्म योगा. लभन्ते ब्रह्म निर्वाणम् ऋषयक्षिणकल्मषाः छिन्नद्वैधायतात्मानः सर्वभूतहितेरताः. हूज माइंड्स आर एंगेज्ड विद इन, हु आर ऑलवेज बिजी वर्किंग फॉर द वेलफेयर ऑफ ऑल लिविंग बीइंग्स एंड हु आर फ्री फ्रॉम ऑल सिंस अचीव लिबरेशन इन द सुप्रीम. काम क्रोध विमुक्तानां यतिनां यतचेतसां अभीतो ब्रह्म निर्वाणम वर्तते वदितात्मनाम. दोज हु आर फ्री फ्रॉम एंगर एंड ऑल मटेरियल डिजायर्स, हु आर सेल्फ रियलाइज्ड, सेल्फ डिसिप्लिन एंड कॉन्स्टेंटली एंडेवरिंग फॉर परफेक्शन आर अश्योर्ड ऑफ लिबरेशन इन द सुप्रीम इन द वेरी नियर फ्यूचर. पर्पोट: Only a person who is fully in Krishna consciousness can be said to be engaged in welfare work for all living entities. When a person is actually in the knowledge that Krishna is the fountainhead of everything, and when he acts in that spirit, he acts for everyone. The suffering of humanity are due to forgetfulness of Krishna as the supreme enjoyer, the supreme proprietor, and the supreme friend. Therefore, to act to revive this consciousness within the entire human society is the highest welfare work. One cannot be engaged in such first-class welfare work without being liberated in the Supreme. A Krishna-conscious person has no doubt about the supremacy of Krishna. He has no doubt because he is completely freed from all sins. This is the state of divine love. A person engaged only in ministering to the physical welfare of human society cannot factually help anyone. Temporary relief of the external body and the mind is not satisfactory. The real cause of one's difficulty in the hard struggle for life may be found in one's forgetfulness of his relationship with the Supreme Lord. When a man is fully conscious of his relationship with Krishna, he is actually a liberated soul, although he may be in the material tabernacle. Of the saintly persons who are constantly engaged in striving towards salvation, one who is in Krishna consciousness is the best of all. The Bhagavatam confirms this fact as follows: Yat pada pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya karmashyam grahitam udghratayanti santa tadvanna riktamatayo yatayo piruddha shrota ganastam arnam bhajavasudevam. Just try to worship in devotional service Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even great sages are not able to control the forces of the senses as effectively as those who are engaged in transcendental bliss by serving the lotus feet of the Lord, uprooting the deep-grown desire for fruitive activities. In the conditioned soul, the desire to enjoy the fruitive results of work is so deep-rooted that it is very difficult even for the great sages to control such desires. Despite great endeavor, a devotee of the Lord constantly engaged in devotional service in Krishna consciousness, perfect in self-realization, very quickly attains liberation in the Supreme. Owing to his complete knowledge in self-realization, he always remains in trance. To cite an analogous example of this: Darshana dhyana samsparshair matsya kurma vihangama swan apatyani pushnanti tataham apipadmaja. By vision, by meditation and by touch only do the fish, the tortoise and the birds maintain their offspring. Similarly do I also, O Padmaja, that's Brahma. The fish brings up its offspring simply by looking at them. The tortoise brings up its offspring simply by meditation. The eggs of the tortoise are laid on land and the tortoise meditates on the egg while in the water. Similarly, the devotee in Krishna consciousness, although far away from the Lord's abode, can elevate himself to that abode simply by thinking of him constantly. By engagement in Krishna consciousness, he does not feel the pangs of material miseries. This state of life is called Brahma Nirvana, or the absence of material miseries due to being constantly immersed in the Supreme. O my Krishna. So in the beginning of this chapter, Arjuna raised this question: O Krishna, first of all you asked me to renounce work. Now, from the fourth chapter, Arjuna concluded that to be freed from suffering, don't take the risk of acting. When you perform some action, there is no guarantee of success. And the frustration of failure will lead to misery. So better not perform action. That is Arjuna's understanding. So Arjuna liked it. Why? Because he was planning not to engage in the battle, where you don't suffer the reaction of fighting your own relatives. Consequently, feeling, oh, I killed my grandfather, I killed my martial teacher, I killed my friends. So I don't have to get involved. Stay away from it. Just like someone learning swimming, a small child, the fear of coach throwing in the water, he's very scared. He's crying, he's screaming. Not learning swimming, he feels I'm comfortable. Because throwing in the water means there is a chance of drowning. There is chance of taking water in the nose, in the mouth, and feeling so suffocated, water going into his head also, causing so much of pain. No activity leads to no suffering. That's what Arjuna understood. Then Krishna said, oh Krishna, first of all you asked me to renounce work. And then again you recommend work with devotion. Now will you kindly tell me definitely which of the two is more beneficial? Now Arjuna is not as confused as in the third chapter. In the third chapter Arjuna felt, what is this? You are giving equivocal instruction. Perform activities and not perform activities. Two contradictory things cannot exist in one place. It is not possible. You can't cry and you can't laugh simultaneously. You can't be miserable and you can't be happy at the same time. Happiness leads to misery. That is in the material world. But together at once, it is not possible. You can't feel cold and you can't feel heat at once. It is not possible. So this contradiction that perform no activities but perform activity sounds very contradictory. But here Arjuna is understanding in the fifth chapter something. He said, my Lord, you are saying renounce activities because engagement with the senses is the cause of reaction. Just like children play cricket. More than enjoying, they suffer. Why? Because everybody is in anxiety that I don't want to be out. With their best of the friends, they actually, if you shoot, I make a video shooting of their playing, and you show them, more than enjoyment, there is anxiety. Right? Enjoyment is promised, but experience is suffering. Anything in this world. Therefore, in this chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains, Yahi samsparshaja bhoga dukkha yonava evate adiyantavantu kauntaya nate shuramate buddhaha. Intelligent person does not take part in those activities which are responsible for suffering. Now, spirituality, worship of God does not cancel enjoyment. It does not say, don't enjoy. You have no right to enjoy. No. Krishna consciousness is against suffering. Our propaganda is not against enjoyment. Our propaganda is against suffering. Suffering caused by wrong kind of enjoyment. Somebody is smoking. Now, why do you need a PhD or why do you need a doctor to tell smoking is bad? It's a fire. Fire on one side and fool on the other side. When there is a fire, how can that give enjoyment? Why can't you put fire right in your mouth? You can't do it. So what do? You take the smoke of that fire and imagine there is enjoyment. Their mouth stinks. Their mouth stinks to others also. And they suffer also. That is enjoyment in this world. So therefore, if you renounce smoking, It sounds good. But then you need some activity. So Krishna's proposal to Arjuna is that renouncement of wrong activities is good, but renouncing all activity is impossible. Enjoyment is bad which causes suffering, but enjoyment which is free from suffering is welcome. But what is that enjoyment? Therefore Arjuna is asking this question, my dear Lord, which is better? Renounce work, don't drive on the streets of Bombay, do not drive on the highway because there is a fear, there is a danger of crashing. Good roads are made, good vehicle is there, but there is no guarantee that you will reach your destination. Why? Because there is a danger. Why can't keep your car in nice showcase? You see the road in the map. So the roads are safe, your car is safe, and you are also safe. But the roads are not meant, they are not made as a show. The cars are not made to keep in the showcase. They are made to run. But running of that car has to be for right purpose, not for the wrong purpose. You don't drive to crash. That is not your desire, that is not your destination. So Krishna is making it very clear. Action which is miserable should be given up, but action which is enlightening, pleasurable has to be done. And that has to be done in devotion. So therefore, Arjuna raised this question, my dear Krishna, please make it very clear that should I renounce work or should I perform activities in devotion? Now, jnana, there are three things. There is material desire, there is knowledge of suffering caused by material desire. Which is more powerful? Knowledge sounds very enlightening. Knowledge makes you understand, oh, this is bad. But material desires are aggressive. Knowledge is passive. When there is a conflict between passiveness and activeness, who wins? Activity wins. Aggression or material desires is always conquers us. While saying, I should not be smoking, smoking is bad, and suddenly people light up the cigarette and smoke. Why? Because the desire is stronger than our knowledge. Knowledge is passive. But devotional service is aggressively active. So you have to conquer something higher than the previous one. So therefore, simply knowledge will not work. So knowledge talks about withdrawal. Do not do this, because this will cause this. Do not do this, this will cause this. But then there has to be an alternative. So therefore, Arjuna was suggested by Krishna that you perform activities in devotion. Now, what is devotion? Devotion may sound very abstract. Devotion for what? One may be very devoted to gratify one's senses. We have our eyes, we have our tongue, we have our, you know, different parts of senses. When somebody is devoted to gratifying his tongue, there is a dedication. To what extent? To gratify one's tongue, one is willing to forgo all kinds of activities. To watch, like one of our devotees would say, he had no habit of getting up early morning. Never. Getting up early morning, that is the time when you start sleeping. The mundane world, people start sleeping at 3, 4. The kids start learning that habit when they start sleeping at 11, 12. Getting up early morning is not possible. But then one is willing to forego sleeping when there is a cricket match in New Zealand and Australia. Right? Getting up at 2 o'clock. So where do you get the impetus? Because there is devotion. Devotion for what? Devotion for one's cause. This is my goal. This is my cause. I am willing to forego certain difficulties. I am willing to give up certain. My dear sleep, which I go to sleep till 10 o'clock, but I get up at 2 o'clock. Why? Because there is some prospectus of higher enjoyment. So is it that is called as devotion? Is it abstract that you have something attractive for that you give up? Like a baby throwing tantrums in the house in front of the mother, I'm not going to eat anything. I don't want this food. He is willing to forgo. He will not take his meal. He is hungry at 12 o'clock, but is willing to stay away from food till 2. For what? Because he needs some toy. So that sacrifice for a child to forgo food, who is always consuming. Srila Prabhupada called one of his disciples' daughter, your mouth is like a New York truck. All the time you are putting something in the mouth. Every 15 minutes. So the nature of the child is to, whatever it sees, has to go in the mouth. Whatever it sees, has to play with it. If the child is willing to go, forgo that sense gratification for something higher, that sacrifice, that devotion. But this sacrifice and this devotion is not permanent. It is extremely fleeting, very temporary. Then you go a little higher. Higher is for doing for one's own relatives, family members. It stays some longer time. Then you go higher for the country, for the larger human society. But still, there is some kind of imperfection in that. It does not award satisfaction for the people whom you are serving, and neither person who is serving them. Both are dissatisfied. So therefore, the Vedic literature make it very clear. The concept of Supreme God enjoying, this is the conclusion of this verse, conclusion of this chapter's verse, Bhoktaram Jagyatapasam, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, Suhurdam Sarva Bhutanam, Gyatvamam Shanti Rashtati. Krishna is the proprietor. That is knowledge. Krishna is the controller. That is experience. Knowledge is passive. The proprietorship is passive. You declare. Controllership is active. And enjoyment is aggressive. So all these three aspects are controlled by Krishna. You can say you are proprietor, but who has the paper? Some mafia has the paper. Sometimes we see, you know, the property is owned by one person, but controlled by somebody else. Therefore, you have to go to the court. And the worker is enjoying. So there are three people. A proprietor is somebody, controller is somebody, and enjoyer is somebody. But with Krishna, it is not like that. He is the proprietor, he is the controller, and he is the enjoyer. And what is our duty? Not to compete with Krishna, but to cooperate. Cooperate is not our choice, it is Krishna's graciousness. We can't say, no, I am cooperating with God. No, you are like a mosquito. We are like flies. He can crush us within no time. It's his grace, it's his magnanimity, he allows us, you become my partner. He doesn't need a partner. Just like a rich man, he finds his friend who is very poor. And he says, come, be my partner. Now that person should not boast and be proud, you know, I'm his partner. That's his kindness. Like in the Mahabharata, when Hanumanji asked this question, when he first time saw Sugriva, saw Lakshman and Ram, and he was fearful, he thought that they are sent by Wali. Just see, he's seeing Ram and Lakshman, he should have felt assurance. He should have felt confident. Oh, here are these people. But because he was seeing Wali everywhere, even in the Supreme Personality of God, he felt enemies. He said, Hanuman, you go and look for them. Who are they? And Hanumanji comes and he asked, Lakshman, who are you? And Lakshman explained about Dasharatha Maharaj. And he said, this is the son of Dasharatha Maharaj, Ram. On the order of his father, he has come to this forest for 14 years. And I'm actually his brother. That is his kindness. He has accepted me as his brother, but my position is I'm his servant. So when Krishna says cooperate with me, it is not that there is a partnership between equals. This partnership is what? He said, if you cooperate with me, the share of what belongs to me, you have it. I am willing to give. Who can be better businessman than Krishna? Without investing even one penny, he makes you partner. But when you try to compete with Krishna, you don't even get to compete with Krishna, his Maya comes. Okay, I'm here. Maya is Krishna's armor. She does not allow Krishna to be seen by a conditioned soul. And she thrashes living in it in such a way that that thrash is considered as what is my victory. Just imagine if you are wrestling and the opposing party who is 110 kilo and you are 40 kilo and you are fasting for last 3 days from Nirjal, special Nirjal Ekadashi comes for 3 days. You are not drunk even one drop of water. So what will be your condition? Your normal condition will be every part of your body will show humility. Your tongue will not move. Your eyes are closed. You know, your whole body is almost bending down. So there is no arrogance. One who is fasting for 3 days, how can he exhibit any arrogance? Even if he has any arrogance in the mind, there is no strength to speak. So just imagine such a person who is fasting for 3 days. He weighs 48 kilo and he challenges a person with 110 kilo. What will happen? Simply a scream by this wrestler. Simply a scream by this wrestler. You know, if you have anything in your body, just like in the Kurukshetra battle, when Arjuna would twang his bow, this was before the Kurukshetra battle, the practice match with the Virata. When he twanged his bow in that battlefield and blew his conch, it is explained all the horses, all the elephants simultaneously they passed stool and urine. And Uttar Kumar, who was Arjuna's side, seeing Arjuna's twang of bow, the blow of conch, he fell from the chariot. His horses also came down. Because Arjuna is Arjuna and Uttar Kumar is Uttar Kumar. Can't compare. So similarly, simply by the scream of such a wrestler, you come down. But the problem is, the Maya, what does she do? You get beaten badly, but Maya makes you feel that, you know, I won the match. And that is the greatest danger. The difficulty is that you are losing the match every moment. A living in it is losing the match every moment, but what is the false confidence? The false confidence is that I am winning. Just see, I did it. That is the danger. Therefore, here Krishna is giving this knowledge to Arjuna. But knowledge is not sufficient. The knowledge has to be transformed into activity more than our desires. A desire like a bullet train. You need a plane to defeat the bullet train. No, bullet train is also going off the track. But to go faster than the bullet train, you require the plane. So devotional service is like flying on the plane. So fast. When we engage in Krishna's service, in the Supreme Personality of Godhead service, just like if you are in the plane, when you are flying, especially when you take an international plane, it's very boring. Extremely boring. Because there is no variety. Driving in Indian roads is every moment excitement. You don't know what's going to happen. Therefore, you can't sleep. You have to take care of your back. You have to take care of your face. You have to take care of your head. You may bump on the top. You may hit on the front. You know, you may go back. We have experienced traveling for 7 years. All these experience we had. But when you are in the plane, it is so boring. Oh, what's so boring? Then, when you decide to come down, then you realize the speed. My God, it was so fast. Bhakti is like that. Devotional service to Krishna is like that. You are in the plane. You are rushing fast to the ultimate goal. But if you feel, oh, it's so boring, there is no variety, then you decide to come down. Once you come down, then you can't take up. It's difficult. You have to go to the next plane now. So therefore, one should not make the mistake of coming down in the middle of the destination. When you are flying from Bombay to New York, and you have a private plane, every devotee, devotional service means Krishna has given everybody his own private plane. You have the choice. When you're flying to New York, you make that choice. I don't want to fly up to New York. Unfortunately, may land in Pakistan. For your ill fortune. But you keep flying. You keep flying, go beyond Pakistan, go beyond New York. Go beyond all the stratas of the universes. Crossing all the layers. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, false ego, intelligence. Crossing everything, crossing the Viraja River. And where does the stop, where does the plane land? The plane doesn't need to be stopped. It automatically lands at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, devotional service is aggressively active. We don't realize the speed, how far we are going. But the material desires might make us, it's boring. It's not boring. Therefore, Krishna is telling Arjuna here that you engage in devotional service. When you are self-realized, when you are self-controlled, then what do? You work for others. Welfare activity. Now, what is welfare activity? Welfare activity means, yesterday we were discussing, Mother Kunti, when she sent a message to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Now, Kunti suffered so much in her life. She was in Hastinapur. Pandavas were living some other place, preparing for the battle, the final match. And Krishna had come as the peacemaker. And the peace message failed. Because when you talk to the wall, a rotten wall, if you talk to an earth wall, if it is a concrete cement wall, it will not respond. The earth wall made from earth responds. You can see, a concrete wall in the winter you need to have warm. You have to create a warmth. But a wall made of earth, it breathes. Very amazing nature. Everything what God has made is living. Whatever man manipulates it is a dead thing. If you go to the farm, why people don't need air conditioner? In the winter, the soil acts as warm. Outside it is cold, inside it is warm. And in the summer, outside it is warm, inside it is cool. We were in Gupta Godavari in Chitrakoot. And it was in the winter, Jan. Extremely cold. We had three in the warm clothes. But we went to Gupta Godavari. It was pleasantly warm. We had to remove our sweater. This is the creation of Krishna. Okay. So here, Kunti sends the message to Yudhishthira Maharaj through Krishna about his responsibilities, his duties. And she tells, when you do not perform your duties, do not act according to your tendencies which are meant to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then your birth in this world simply adds to a population. You become another number. So overpopulation is not the problem. The problem is people not performing their duties. If you have 100 able, capable people, can you call, it's overpopulated now? No. 100 capable, right kind of people, that adds value to the society. But if you got 95 crazy people, forget 95, one crazy person in the family, active crazy, you can imagine how much damage it does. One active crazy, and what to speak of active population, human tendencies, animal tendencies with a sophisticated technology. Simply being animal is not bad. If one is cat, a dog, an elephant, a tiger, what will you do? How much facility a tiger has to destroy? A tiger will never come in the city. Never dare to come in the city. It has its limitations. Only if you go to the forest, he will devour you. That's all. And if he sees you, that's all. But a human being lives in the city, develops animal tendencies, and then does lot of technological research. Animal tendencies and technology, this combination causes deadly, you know, effect in the mundane world. You do damage, but with the technology adding to it, you do such a greater damage. So therefore, self-restraint and discipline is very important. And when the discipline is there, self-restraint is there, and understanding of self-realization is there, that itself is a welfare work. That itself is a welfare work. And what to speak of actively doing welfare work? A welfare work is possible when you see more than your own self. There are two things. One is my own life, and my life influences my surrounding. We were teaching this mantra to our children. What is it? I like. When you say I like, you have to see how does it benefit the society. I don't like. You don't like, but how does it benefit society? We ask this question. That which one you choose? I like, not beneficial to the society. I don't like, but beneficial to the society. Most kids said, unfortunately, we choose what we like, but we don't care how it affects the society. That is a dangerous culture. And that's how everybody thinks about, when we live in the mundane world, what is selfishness means? Selfishness means what I like. My tongue likes this. My eyes like this. My lips like this. My sense of touch like this. What about the society? I don't care. Nobody even is conscious about the ill effect it causes to the society. Srila Prabhupada gives a simple example that how can a sane person, if he's a really sane, if he's a sensitive person, how can he devour an innocent animal and call that as a food? How can you do it? No, I like flesh. But you like flesh, but what? At what cost? Causing so much harm to other living entity. You know, how, that is a sheer arrogance to say, it's a question of my liking. You have to do something what you like. But what about others? No, that is not my outlook. That is a dangerous society. Therefore, Vedic literature says, we are not saying that you completely give what you like. But your liking has to be balancing with what is beneficial to the society. One is what I like, not beneficial to the society. I don't like, beneficial to the society. But third is, beneficial to the society, but I will adjust so that I can also like it. That is called as discipline. That is called as austerity. Unless a human being changes his swabhav, nature, people say changing swabhav is impossible. I cannot change my nature. But therefore we have been awarded this human form of life. A human form of life, when we are born, we are animalistic. Our tendencies are animalistic. Just like animal passes stool, urine everywhere, a small living entity also does the same thing. He does not have any discrimination. If you keep a child here, he will not think this is a vasasana, I'm going to hold back. When I go home, I'll go to the bathroom, then I will respond to the nature of call of nature. Does that child has the mentality to think? No. You bring a dog here, you bring a baby here. If the impetus is there, if the urge is there, the dog will do, the baby will also do. So what does it indicate? It indicates that when we are born with animalistic tendencies. A baby has no discrimination between remaining naked like a dog or a cat or having clothes. For him, there is no difference. That is animalistic. But who trains that baby? The mother trains. No. Slowly, without even informing that baby, the culture is given. This is not the place. He doesn't understand. This is the place where you are supposed to do. This is the cloth you are supposed to do. You cannot remove this cloth. Slowly, slowly, as the child grows, without even knowing himself, he has changed from being animal to a proper human with proper discrimination. There is a change. Everybody, however one is bad in culture, has experienced the change of being animal to a proper human being. So the Shastra says, go on adding more cloth into their life. In one South Indian language, cloth is also called as knowledge. In Kannada, it is called arive. Arive means cloth. Arive also means knowledge. So add more cloth. More cloth. More power of discrimination. In this way, when the child is born as an animal, he slowly goes higher, 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 higher. And he has the power to discriminate. This is good, this is bad. This is good, this is bad. This is good for me, but not good for my family. This is good for me, but it is absolutely bad for my health. And what is the mundane world now? Kal kisne dekha? And people are putting that billboard everywhere. And people go to watch it. Those who manufacture it, those who watch it, what are they? Going back to babyhood. Going back to when they were born. Infancy. I don't care what I do. That is not human society. Human society means thinking what is good. Not only for me. In fact, whatever is not good for your surrounding, certainly not good for you also. It is simply imagination. It is good for me. I like it. No, you may like because you imagine. A tobacco, can anyone say tobacco is tasty compared to sweet rice? But tobacco is sold more than sweet rice. In fact, most people don't even know what sweet rice is. Unless you come to Hare Krishna temple or somebody, you know, offering that amrit to Krishna. But tobacco everybody knows. Tobacco is sold more. But what is the difference? One is poison, one is nectar. Why? Because this taste has been developed by advertisement and imagination. This is good, this is good, this is good. I was in one college many years back when we were traveling in Maharashtra, in one of the colleges in Maharashtra, small town. And in the corner of the classroom, there was a mountain. Mountain of spitting of all the students. And I asked this question, why do you eat tobacco? Now that question, somebody asked first time in their life. They said, what? Why do I eat tobacco? I eat. This question never comes in my mind. Why do I eat? I never even asked that question, why should I eat? So why should I ask that question when I'm eating now, when I'm addicted to it? So, we see that when we go back to our infancy by our wrong habits and say, this is my nature. No, our nature has been changed by our parents giving certain samskaras. So therefore, one has to change. So therefore, welfare activity means asking this first question, is it benefit to my surrounding? Does this activity benefit my surrounding? When we don't ask that question and we say, I don't care, that is the height of selfishness. And when one becomes so selfish, one has to drown in one's own selfishness. Material nature is very powerful. When you spit in the sky, when you become angry towards sun, he is scorching, and you become angry and you spit on the sky, goes from your mouth but spread over all your face. It all goes up, and by the power of the wind, it all comes back on your face. And if you have got cough, if you are feeling cold, it comes with a greater force, a sticky substance. And you can't blame the sun. Why the hell you did it? So similarly, somebody said, when you make the bed, the very bed of Mother Earth dirty, and you blame, I don't want to sleep here because it is dirty. But who made it dirty? So that is arrogance. To say, this is what the modern society is. I like it. I like to drink. I like to smoke. I like to enjoy. What about your surrounding? I don't care. But what is Bhagavad Gita? Bhagavad Gita is any action you perform, you have to see the tradition. Does tradition allow this? Did my predecessors perform these activities? Okay, if they have not done it, should I become a revolutionary? Should I become an inventor of this? Does it benefit me? Does it benefit the society? Do you have the ability to see the consequence? What will be the reaction? If you cannot see it, ask someone who is your superior. He says, do not do it. These are the consequences. What to speak of the consequences? He can say, not only consequences, there are post consequences. This life and the next life. That is Vedic society. Vedic society has present life, Vedic society has past life, and Vedic culture also says future life. When he says this was the only birth, that is animalistic concept. To say, I don't believe in reincarnation, that is animalism. It is saying like, I don't accept that Monday exists. I only know about Sunday. Because Sunday is day for enjoyment. And people will say, no, I know Monday because I lived Monday. I know Tuesday, I lived Tuesday. I know Wednesday, I lived Wednesday. Prabhupada says, for you may not know reincarnation just like a baby not knowing Monday. But those who have seen Monday, they will say Monday does exist. Similarly, higher living entities, they say, you may not accept reincarnation, but we have seen your background. Therefore, Arjuna was told by Krishna, Bahuni me vetitani. My dear Arjuna, you may not know your previous life, but I know. I know every life of yours. I know every life of mine. I do not change, you change. But I know your life, I know my life. Therefore, Vedic culture means do it in such a way that is maintaining the tradition, that is maintaining your future prospect, keeping your bright future nicely. Therefore, anything you enjoy, simple, people drink Pepsi, our Shinajipu was saying. I was watching yesterday, 17, 18 boys, I actually counted when we were driving to one program, 17, 18 boys, South Mumbaites, must be educated. Everybody is holding this Pepsi or Coke. And the vibration is that, you know, we made it. We are successful people. Our father has made so much of money. And our responsibility is to do Abhishek. Now, squander all that. Now, what is that item? Like our Srinajipu was saying, in one Pepsi bottle, there are 17 spoons of sugar. Just imagine, in one milk glass, if you add little extra sugar, more than 1.5 spoon of sugar, you can't enjoy it. It becomes too tasty. Now, 17 spoon of sugar in one bottle, what are you doing with your body? So poisonous. But it is cool. I like it. I don't care what happens to me. What to speak of their immediate surrounding, their family, one does not take care of one's immediate surrounding, this body. This body is our surrounding. We are abusing this body to such an extent. It is nothing, it is not speaking about any spirituality. It is talking about common sense. When you abuse your body, when you misuse your body, the body will react. Try not sleeping for 3 days. When you don't sleep for 3 days, you become crazy. Because body says, I can't take it. You're abusing me. I'm going to react. Even though body is a dead matter, it has the power to react to the will of the soul. A soul out of arrogance may say, I'm going to abuse my body. I'm going to stay away for 3 days without sleeping. I'm going to have 3 days party. The body will take it for first day, take it for second day, take it for third half day. And then he says, come on, I'm going to react now. It is our good fortune if the body reacts within 3 days. If the body takes longer time, the longer the body reacts, the reaction is much more severe. We cannot avoid the doings of the material nature. Therefore, Krishna very brilliantly speaks here that add me into your life. Then I will teach you everything. Like today, Gaurangpa was mentioning, you know, somebody asked Prabhupada, What is the essence of Bhagavad Gita? And one man said, Etechasi Tatakuru. Actually, if you see from another point of view, that is the brilliance of Krishna's magnanimity. Yathechasi Tatakuru is also one of the essential words of the Bhagavad Gita. To show Krishna's magnanimity. He is not into the principle of punishment. I gave you the instruction, better you follow whatever I say. If you don't learn by knowledge, Krishna says, learn it by experience. Drink your Pepsi which has 17 spoons of sugar. Drink 5 glasses. You want to do it? Do it. But the body has to react. So similarly, Krishna is liberal in regards to giving that choice. My dear Arjuna, I have spoken. I have given you the knowledge. If you act according to my instruction, these are the results. If you become egoistic, out of arrogance, you do not follow my instruction, these are the results. He is not scaring. He is not causing pain to Arjuna. But Arjuna, it's up to you. Yathechasi tatakuru. Who? Which professor? Which police officer? Which doctor? After doing all kind of diagnosis, without charging one penny, Arjuna was not charged by Krishna. There is no history that he charged him a tuition fee. He spoke, he sang. He did not even speak, he sang. It was like a blue song. It was like a Karunara song. Speaking to Arjuna, singing Arjuna in compassionate way. And after giving that whole performance, Arjuna and Krishna is not saying, give my fees, follow my instruction. He says, no. Yathechasi tatakuru. Arjuna, you have the liberty, you have the independence. If you follow, this will happen. If you don't follow, this will happen. And what did Arjuna say? Arjuna said, my lord, I don't want to drink any more Pepsi. I know there are 17 spoons of sugar in this. Nasto moha smurtir labdva tvat prasadad maya achyuta. He said, all my doubts are eradicated. Now I will only drink cow's milk. Because the Bhagavad Gita is compared to cow. And Krishna is the cowherd. And Arjuna is the calf. Krishna knows the art of milking the cow. And then he says, Arjun, come here. These are all Upanishads. I milked sufficiently. Now you drink. You drink as much as you want. And Arjuna is drinking with great satisfaction. And because it is fresh cow's milk, you don't need to put any sugar. There is no problem of any diabetes. So therefore, here, welfare activity means what? That is the first thing. That do I like something which is unbeneficial to the society? When we think from this point of view, yes, I like, but it is dangerous for the society, I think I should restrain. I should practice the art of discipline. But if it is beneficial, if it is not liked by me, but beneficial for the society, why not do it? Sometimes people say, no, why do you force me to chant Hare Krishna? I don't like it. Therefore, you should chant. Why? Because it is good for you. A mother or father or a brother or sister may tell their siblings, their friends, their relatives, their subordinates, why don't you chant? I don't like chanting. I don't like to coming to the temple. This is a stupid argument. You have anything better than that? I don't like. Again, the same repetition. If you chant Hare Krishna rather than saying that same again and again, I don't like. You get benefit. So therefore, a simple logic, you don't need any more logic than this, that is it beneficial for others, the society, my own health. So Krishna consciousness, the foundational principle is that, yes, the medicine of spirituality in the beginning is bitter because we have jaundice. Anyone who has suffered jaundice, he does not taste anything nicely. Even the sugarcane juice, the best of all kinds of juice, sugarcane juice, it tastes bitter. And what is the medicine? The medicine that you keep taking it regularly, continuously keep taking. Till when? The nature of sugarcane juice is sweet. But the nature of your tongue, because of jaundice, it makes the sugar cane juice taste like, you know, bitter. But if you go to the lab, sugar cane juice will say, no, no, it's sweet only. So whose fault is it? Is it the tongue's fault or the sugar cane juice's fault? It is the fault of the tongue. So what is the solution? The solution is that keep on taking. As somebody is giving instruction, mother is saying, beta lete rahe, beti lete rahe, ye aapke liye kaam karega, ye hi theek karega. So if you have that faith and know that my mother is my well-wisher, you may curse, my God, this sugar cane is bitter. Don't curse the sugar cane. Curse your tongue. The tongue is causing like that. Curse your stomach. But if you keep on taking, knowing, my dear sugar cane, please become sweet. My dear sugar cane, please become sweet. No, say no, my dear tongue, get cured. My dear stomach, get cured. But you take on the medicine. And eventually what happens? Suddenly, one day, that sugar cane juice, which was tasting bitter, starts tasting sweet. Then you know that your jaundice is gone. Spiritual life is like that only. Getting up in the morning, all of us, we experience. We grew up in the same culture where getting up means what? What time? The morning hours, from the Vedic point of view, 1.5 hours before sunrise. From the Kali Yuga point of view, after 4 hours sunrise. Maybe more also. That is, you get up. As late you see the sun, better the sleep is. So when somebody is told, get up in the morning and come to the temple. I said, what time? 5 o'clock. You get a nightmare. Almost people faint. But then you see, they start doing it. When they start doing it, it's so painful. But once you start doing it, then even if you don't keep alarm, even if somebody, we have one boy coming here, he goes to sleep at 7:30, our Chaitanya. He's coming for Mangalarti. One day, you know, his parents did not wake him up because he slept late. When he got up in the morning, he saw it was 6:30. And he saw that he's not in the temple. On the bed, he started throwing tantrums. Why you didn't wake me up? I wanted to go for Mangalarti. That is a success. Before he was crying, I don't want to go to Mangalarti. But slowly, slowly his habits were changed. When he was meant not to come for Mangalarti, then he started crying. So what is it? From being animal to become a human being. So that training has to be given by the living entity by engaging in proper devotional service. Therefore, bhakti is absolutely common sense. We don't need big scriptures. We need little common sense. And what does the modern propaganda does? It destroys our common sense. It destroys our common sense. It forces us to believe in something which is unsubstantial, which is unpleasurable. Making something unpleasurable to be pleasurable. When we hear continuously a repeated propaganda about something, if someone, they scheme, but you don't know the scheme. Every 30 minutes if you hear, hey, you gone crazy? You gone crazy? You gone crazy? Your mother says that. That's the last thing. Actually, it starts from your office or your school. When you're walking in, you know, the peon says, the guard, tu pagal ho gaya? Tu pagal ho gaya kya aise bolne ke liye? Then you go inside. Then the person from other class, he says you, I heard you gone mad. This time you say, you become angry. But you remember, why did he say that? Now you start analyzing. Then the third person. When you go in the class, the whole classroom says, welcome my dear Pagal. Then you get a shock. Then you start analyzing. I am right actually. There is no problem in me. How can they say like that? But when you come home, and just imagine your parents also say, my dear child, you have gone mad. Then that statement makes you start acting mad. That is the modern propaganda. This is good. This is good. This is good. Wherever you go, all the billboards, all the television, everything, what does it make? It makes you mad. And you start believing that I have gone mad. So therefore, what do we need is simple common sense. But unfortunately in Kali Yuga, as one of our devotees says, that Kali Yuga means what? That common sense is extremely rare. It's a rare commodity. Common sense has become uncommon. And therefore Srila Prabhupada, what he did when he went to America, he just placed some common sense in the brain of people. Made us think, now you're not wearing any cloth. The emperor, we were the emperor and we were told. And who told? A baby told. My dear emperor, you are not wearing any cloth. That emperor's story. I said, what? Yes. And then we started realizing, my God. Then slowly, by giving more logic, the power of discrimination will be raised to the highest level. And when the power of discrimination is raised to the highest level, then the living entity understands, oh, here is the nectar. And I should relish the nectar, even though in the beginning that nectar may taste not so sweet. But at least I know this is not nectar. There is 17 spoon of sugar. It is not good for me. But here, there is no sugar, but still it is tasty. In this way, by chanting the names of God, by studying the Bhagavad Gita properly, by discussing with others, and by being an observer. When you become absorbed in the material world, you cannot discriminate. When you become observer, you observe the world. Stay aloof from the world for at least for the sake of analyzing. Do not get involved. Observe first. When you observe, then you analyze. When you are absorbed, you cannot analyze. For example, tobacco you take. One who is absorbed in taking tobacco, he gives you. You say, okay, what is this? He'll say, this is tobacco. What does it do? When you start asking that kind of questions, then he starts coming out of absorption. Very simple thing. Similarly, the whole material world is like a leaf, a tobacco leaf. It has been crushed nicely. Put some artificial fragrant, packed in a nice package, and everybody is buying it, consuming it. It is causing cancer. Cancer means what? Bodily concept of life. What does cancer mean? Cancer means extra growth. So this body is an extra growth to the pure spirit soul. So that has to be removed. Tobacco causes cancer. So when you start realizing, oh, there is an extra growth, this material body is an extra growth for us. And in this way, living entity, by giving up, being absorbed in consuming tobacco, but analyzing tobacco, what does he do? He does like this, but doesn't go in the mouth. He does like this and just discards it. Puts in the fire, never to see it back. Why? Because he is jumping into the fire of aggressive activity in positive devotional service. And in this way, his plane never stops and goes to the great speed and goes back to the spiritual world. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Therefore, the take-home message is, I don't like, but is it beneficial? So if you remember this, whenever we hold something which is not beneficial, sir, this is not beneficial for me and for my family also, you place it down. But this is beneficial, but very bitter. But it is beneficial for me, beneficial for my society. If you just contemplate on this with the principle of Bhagavad Gita, then the human society, forget human society, ourselves, we will save a lot of our time, a lot of our energy, a lot of our wealth, and a lot of insanity. Then sanity will prevail in this world and experience spiritual culture even in an insane world. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments before we have a kirtan? Now anybody, emperor's store, emperor's cloth. Emperor wanted a cloth, some special cloth. I also don't remember. No, then somebody cheated him. They said, this is your cloth. They charged him a lot of money. And what did they say? Yeah. They said, only a stupid person or inefficient person will not be able to see your cloth. So nobody wanted to call themselves as stupid, including the emperor. Even though he was stark naked, he was not wearing any cloth. So nobody said, you know, you don't have any cloth. He said, yeah, nice cloth. That's human society. But I think one small baby, children are honest. They're straightforward. He said, oh, here goes the king who is naked. So rather than calling him stupid, they said, oh, he's intelligent. Then everybody said. So similarly, the whole human society is run by propaganda. They blame, oh, spiritual people are brainwashing. Not brainwashing, yathechasi tatha karo. We give the ability, Krishna gives the choice. He has the power to control us, but he does not control. Just see, God's greatest gift for human society is the power of independence. Which mafia, which dictator can give that kind of independence to living entity? You know, he just, by signal, he can destroy us. By mere pulling one nerve within our heart, he can kill us. But he doesn't do it. He gives the independence. God takes the risk of giving independence to living entities, knowing very well they might misuse it. Why? So that independence means there is a freedom of love, freedom of choice. Therefore, there is no question of brainwashing. There is no question of course, there has to be something to wash the brain. If there is no brain only, where is the question of washing? When our brains are so much influenced by our surrounding, where we are consuming poison to such an extent, the habits, what are the habits? I don't want to say, but I'll stay anyway. The habits are people, food habits. Now if you see the Indian food, any food, either a Gujarati or South Indian or Punjabi, has some science in it. What do you eat? Eat some flat, you know, item with a lot of cheese on it, made from white, and then take ice cream and take Sprite. How can you handle it? The stomach will be constipated. So therefore, again, common sense. People not using, you know, I should not be speaking in the temple. They cannot, there is no call for the nature. There is no nature's call for 3 days. And I feel I am comfortable. I am a great yogi. No, the food habits is scientific. When we practice that scientific food habit, yukta ahara, I'm not speaking anything which is not part of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna's yukta ahara, right kind of food. Yukta vihara, right kind of recreation. Yukta swapnava bhodasya, right time of sleep. Too much of sleep makes one lazy, and too less sleep makes one crazy. Children learn to sleep more, and the IT industry people learn to sleep less. And then so much of damage. So Krishna says, yukta ahara vihara yukta swapnava bhodasya. Yoga bhavati dukkha. When you practice this yoga, there is no suffering. It means Lord is giving the highest concept of Vedanta philosophy, and then is giving the most common sense how to live in this world. Simply, but at the same time, a luxurious living of proper health. So Vedantic philosophy covers the social aspect, the economic aspect, the spiritual aspect also. Nothing is separated. The material sense gratification, what does it do? I like it. What about your family? I don't care. What about your surrounding? I don't care. What about your responsibility, your country, your state? Who cares? I have my sense gratification. Means, sense gratification where the goal is what I like makes one so narrow, so small-minded, extremely small-minded. But the spiritual culture, that's what Krishna is saying, makes you large-hearted, extremely large-hearted. You become sensitive to the suffering of others. You want to extend. Therefore, anukampa. Anukampa means what? When you see the suffering of others, you also feel that suffering. So how can any spiritual culture be selfish? Sometimes people say, oh, you're only thinking about your own deliverance. Ab apne bhagwan ke dham mein jana chahte ho, samaj ka kya hai? As if they're doing so big to samaj. People blame. Why do you spend so much of money on God, worshipping Him? You know, somebody gave 45 crore worth crown to Balaji. People may say, what is this? So much of money is spent on a deity, a statue. And how can a minister do it? We may argue about it. We may say, okay, you could have done it like this, you could have done it, you could have spent on this also, that way God would have been pleased. But when we are saying that, I read one article about 1,500 crores, that much money is spent simply on cosmetic in India. 1,500 crore every year. And then other things are different. Perfume, this and that. If everybody donates, okay, we are not going to use this. Use it for the society's sake. Can you imagine how much benefit will that be? So when you talk about God not using anything, we are making God ourselves. This is my deity. This is my deity. I am the God. And I need to spend 3 hours decorating this body. And there has to be Shringar Aarti also. There has to be Aarti also. There has to be Puja also. There has to be Puja paraphernal also. And everybody has to come and see also. Govindam Adi Purusham. So you have the choice. Therefore, Bhagavatam Prahlad Maharaj explains that when you learn the art of decorating the Lord, then you are also decorated nicely. Therefore, the Lord has given his darshan. Hare Krishna.